When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live, the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So on the NFL Today pregame show on CBS, your pal Nate Burleson sat down with Saquon Barkley, the Philadelphia Eagles running back who is having a very, very impressive season after leaving the New York Giants, and they spent a lot of time talking about the backwards jump over the defender from last week, which is one of the crazier plays of the season. I mean, that and the Garrett Wilson touchdown. I mean, there's been a couple of really great plays, but I mean, I don't think we've seen anything like that, a guy jumping over a defender backwards and leaping over him.
I'll tell you, Garrett Wilson almost had a great catch in the end zone.
I know, when he did that thing with the one hand, he was going to snag it.
That would have been unbelievable.
That might have been better than the other one if he was able to do that.
Very, very close. But anyway, go ahead.
So they're talking about they're going over the play, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I think about these things and so on and so forth. And he goes, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, I try to get myself in a situation like where I'm envisioning I'm going to spin off of this guy or spin off of that guy. And then he made this comment, and we're going to play the audio from Saquon Barkley. This is courtesy of NFL on CBS.
Yeah, I'm jumping over, you know, people again because I got money. I got, like, I have security. I have financial security.
It allows you to play freer.
Play free.
Yeah, so I'm jumping over people now because I got my money.
That was really surprising.
I mean, do you think he is really saying that he did not play hard the last couple of years with the Giants because they didn't give him a long-term contract?
You know, so after I heard this and saw this and, you know, the respect that I have for Saquon when he was here playing, I just wanted to run it by just a couple of my Giant fan friends,
yeah,
who are Mr. Misery these days,
yeah,
and just to get their sense of Saquon and what their thought process was, and they never thought that Saquon ever dogged it for the Giants, and as I did, I never thought that either,
yeah,
but it is telling that Saquon and Nate both came to the same conclusion. You're playing freer.
Yeah, you're running freer, which is interesting because he stayed healthy running freer. I mean, if he was trying to protect himself more with the Giants, he was always hurt. I mean, he spent a lot of time missing games as a New York Giant. So I don't know if, I mean, it seems like the playing freer thing is keeping him more healthy.
And then it all obviously came back down to guaranteed money for him.
Yeah.
Which I think for all of us, it would come down to.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Saquon was like, you played NFL football. Would you go out there and there's guys running after you that want to rip your head off? You're not thinking about protecting yourself for a contract in those situations when you're someone who has a football in your hands, do you?
No, you can't be half-assed. That's right. How you get hurt. I mean, ultimately, that's how you get hurt. So I can't even impress upon you just how difficult it is for a running back to make it through an entire season.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of hits that they take, the hits come from so many different ways. And anytime you like see a running back go up the middle and all of a sudden they get jammed up, and Tiki would be better you know, serve to tell you this, but I would listen to it. I could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would hear like the initial thud, and then you'd hear like four or five little thuds. And those four or five little thuds are coming from different spots where all of a sudden now the running back is totally vulnerable. And this has been going on ever since football has been played. And I understand kind of where Saquon's coming from, especially when you got to go through the amount of rehab he's gone through.
Yeah, I think this is more of another sort of petty comment from Saquon about like, hell, like you could have gotten this from me, you know, Giants, if you paid me, then I'd be playing like this for you. Like, I kind of think that's more, I don't believe with the integrity that he has, and we like Saquon, the integrity that he has, that he ever was half-assing it or not trying his best with the Giants. I think this is just more of another shot when he had an opportunity in a national TV interview to be like, hey, you guys screwed up. That's where I think this comes from.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely the chip on his shoulder. There is no question about it. And as most players would have chips on their shoulders if they couldn't re-sign with the team that they wanted to stay with.
Hmm.
For many of us who have gotten traded or cut or anything else along those lines, you can understand why he's needling the Giants, especially with the way that he's playing for the Eagles and how good the Eagles are this year.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting team because we're talking about the NFC and how it's wide open. I mean, if they reach their full potential, that could be the team that comes out of the NFC.
I know Detroit's tough.
I think Detroit's tough, but that's the easy answer right now.
I still think San Francisco is going to be a bitch to deal with.
They always are. I'm just saying the Eagles, they're rounding into shape, you know?
Yeah, they played a crappy Cowboy team yesterday. I mean, we'll find out about them this Thursday because you have Washington versus the Eagles this Thursday.
Ooh, I love that. I didn't know that.
That's 2 weeks in a row. You got two great games within their divisions. So last week it was Baltimore.
Think that'll be a high scoring game?
That's a good question.
I mean, Jaden Daniels was able to put up 27 points against the Steelers defense.
You got to believe it's like a 30-27 game on a short week.
Yeah.
I don't know how many guys will end up missing the game due to injuries that they can't come back from. You know,
the reason I ask is it was just such an awesome game between the Ravens and the Bengals last week. And like, I wonder if we're going to get a similar situation. Could.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, both quarterbacks are playing well and both offenses are moving the ball up and down the field. Why wouldn't they?
Let's go to Vinny. He's calling from Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Diehard Giants fan, and I've never been happier to not have Barkley. I don't care. I know he's just a chance to say it in the national media, but that was a bum comment to say. And you know what? It does affect his integrity because he just told all the Giants fans, which is what he wanted, he didn't run hard for all those years. He was injury prone because he didn't make his money. You know what? I'm so happy he's not on the Giants. I wish him nothing but the worst. Shout out to my father-in-law, Joe Cupo, and Uncle Billy Cupo. Let's go Giants.
The Cupos. Yeah, you don't want to piss off the Cupos, man. I mean, they've been going to Giant games for a long time. I got a feeling that you don't want to get on the bad side of the Cupos.
Yeah, but like I told you, my Giant fan friends in my life never thought that Saquon, like, held back. They never felt that way.
I mean, we watched every single one of the games that he played. Never. He was injury prone. He would get the high ankle sprains. You know, obviously he had the one big ACL tear. He rehabbed. I never in my life thought that guy was dogging it. And we've seen guys dog it. I mean, we've seen Deontay Banks this year dog it. We've seen Sauce Gardner not give full effort on tackles yesterday. Like, we know what that looks like. And never once did in all the years we watched him play with the Giants say that or think that.
Which is amazing because he is the one that said it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nobody else is trying to say this is what Saquon was meaning. I mean, he actually said it himself.
Right, but that's why I think it just was another opportunity to be like, hey, I'm playing great because I got paid. And the Giants could have had this same thing if they had paid me a couple years ago or kept me. And you would have had the same. I'd be jumping over dudes in the big blue uniform, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. I don't think that he actually didn't try hard. I mean, I remember him when he was on the franchise tag. You know, he was going crazy. He was working his ass off.
The biggest weakness I thought that he brought to the Giants is his lack of pass blocking ability.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll still hold true to that. That's not his game. Like, he needs to be out away from all of that.
Sure. Let's go to Wilson in Roxbury, New Jersey. What's going on, Wilson?
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Wilson.
real quick, man, before I get to my Daniel Jones. I mean, if the coaches send good plays and the players supposedly have to deliver, then why fire coaches, man? I mean, hey, it's not my fault. It's the players' fault. I can't believe that nobody in that radio station holds this horrendous head coach accountable for everything. I understand Daniel Jones is not like a top 20 quarterback, but he's not this basket case. I mean, the defense gets gashed for 200 yards in the ground every time, and yet we got to hear the same thing. Oh, we got to look ourselves in the mirror. We have the attention to details. Well, look at the film. I mean, how many more years they want this? I don't think there's enough walls and Giants in that building to put mirrors for them to look at the mirror, man.
Yeah, I know. You're right, Wilson. By the way, Wilson, if you just heard me say prior to the break in the previous segment, I said if you can't stop the run, then you're not going to win in this league. You have to be able to run the ball and stop the run. That is the basis and foundation of NFL football.
I understand, and I get it, boom. But I understand that Daniel Jones is not the best quarterback. He's not this basket case, man. I saw him standing right next to Bryce Young. I mean, that's what an NFL quarterback looks like, man. Bryce Young looks like a high school quarterback, but everything is his fault, and this horrendous head coach is going to get a pass. We're going to – and this horrendous general manager that basically he got four number one picks, and three of them looks like bust. But, hey, listen, it's Daniel Jones' fault. I understand he'll be out of here next year. But somebody's got to hold this.
Well, they may all be out of here next year, Wilson. Nothing is a given.
All right. Well, I think that's what's got to be done, man. Because if Daniel Jones leaves, I don't want this fat guy in the sidelines anymore. All he does is finger points everybody.
Hey, man, he lost a lot of weight, Wilson.
He lost a lot of weight.
I mean, but, you know, I would say, like, this is where we are again. We're here with both teams once again.
Well, the only way that you get rid of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane is if you're bringing in either Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel. And Mike Vrabel might be, I'm not even sure if I would make that a definitive statement. Like, if Bill Belichick wants to come here and finish his career as a Giants coach, then I think it's a possibility to move on. But you can't go and then pluck another coordinator and first-time GM and do this thing all over again. You can't do it. I mean, it's just, and that's the same thing with the Jets, for God's sakes.
As much respect as I have for Bill Belichick as a coach, how did he do without a quarterback?
Well, the point would be that hopefully they would be in the upper echelon of this draft, and then Bill Belichick likes one of these guys and then is able to draft that guy. But then he did that with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I think Mac Jones fell to him. Mac Jones fell to him because the 49ers decided to take Trey Lance. So not everybody in the NFL gets it right, man. I'm telling you.
No. Trey Lance, that wasn't that draft, was it?
Because it was. The 49ers, we all thought the 49ers traded
Trey Lance was third, so it was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, then Trey Lance?
Yes.
And then
Mac Jones, 15th.
What a nightmare.
And that was the 49ers.
Wow.
And then that's also the same year that they drafted Brock Purdy with the last draft in the draft. I mean, like, it is a crapshoot, man. Like, to me, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at these respective teams that potentially could have new coaches next year.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those teams we know are going to have new coaches. That would be New Orleans and the Jets. They're not going to go with their interim head coaches. They're going to, you know, basically blow it all up and start all over in both places. Now you got to wonder about like the Bears, the Jaguars. You worry about possibly the Giants. You don't know. And then you sit there and you analyze each of these job opportunities. Like, who would have the best situation for a coach to go into to win immediately? The Cowboys are going to be on that list.
Hmm. Yeah.
Where is Ben Johnson going to end up?
I heard I guess it was Adam Schefter that was talking about it, and he basically said that there is no lock that he is a head coach next year because he might end up staying there. He likes it there. He's getting paid well, and he doesn't want to go to any situation that he's not 100% sure is the right place for him. Which a lot of guys don't look at things like that. They're like, man, I'm going to be a head coach in the NFL. That's the ultimate goal. And look at all the money I'm going to make. And it's guaranteed money. And if they fire me after a year, I'm still going to make $25 million without doing anything. So, like, a lot of these guys jump at every one of those opportunities.
Well, it's like my buddy Frank. I mean, he jumped at that Carolina opportunity, and he probably shouldn't have, looking back on it now. But they all believe that they can turn things around. They believe that they have the answer for whatever that team is missing. And you would think, okay, we got the number one overall pick. We're going to take the quarterback of our choosing, and you're going to basically make him into a pro. I mean, and then things all of a sudden go haywire. The kid's not ready yet. The coach or the owner gets a little bit, the owner gets very, very rambunctious and impatient. And the next thing you know, you're fired. I mean, that's why, to me, I give Ben Johnson a lot of credit for turning down jobs last year and staying with the Detroit Lions, because he knew he had something good there and that they were going to win. And I, you know, for him, if they continue to do what they're doing and continue to win, he's going to be like the number one guy.
I still have a tough time picturing Dan Campbell and Jared Goff holding up a Lombardi trophy. It's a hard image for me. I understand Jared Goff made it there with the Rams, but they got completely waxed by that Patriots defense.
So let's just say the Lions make it. Let's just say that, just for sake of argument, they make it.
And they never have in their history.
Right, and they make it. So then they're going to play who in the Super Bowl? The Chiefs?
Yeah, probably.
The Bills?
Ravens, Bengals,
Ravens.
If they come back.
Let's say it's the Ravens. I mean, that could be the highest scoring Super Bowl in history.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. That would certainly be a lot of fun if those two teams met. It'll probably be the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't lose. I mean, for God's sakes. Yeah, block field goal at the end of that game is unbelievable.
I mean, Josh Allen's playing amazing. Although, yesterday, two interceptions, but still, I mean, they put up 30 points. Joe Flacco, a couple turnovers, four turnovers, actually.
I mean, it's crazy. Like if you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers being 7-2 and leading that division, I still think they're the third best team in the division. You know, no disrespect to them. I just think that the Bengals and the Ravens are better.
I don't know, man. Your record is what did they say?
You are what your record says you are.
Right, exactly.
All right.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back. He's got lots of football for us. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Serve Pro Cleanup, Restoration, and Construction. Visit servepro.com. We start with the Jets because they were the late game yesterday, the 31-6 loss to the Cardinals. So a lot of the videos are out there. If you watch the game, they did not play well on either side of the ball. Defense was lackluster at best. Interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich, what was the issue and is the issue with the poor tackling and the poor defense?
Yeah, we gotta work it. We gotta get better at it. I thought we made a huge emphasis of it this week. Obviously, not enough. You know, so we gotta continue to take the extra step. We gotta wrap. We gotta get population to the ball. The core foundation of this game.
That's a Tomlinism, right?
The core foundation.
Population to the ball.
The core foundation of the game.
Interesting. Yeah. Sauce Gardner on the Trey McBride play that everyone is watching and reposting, and why tackling is an issue.
I don't know. I know I missed one today. I got to make that tackle. It's good coverage. You got to make that tackle. As a team, I don't know. Because I know we always practice it, you know, D-line, backers, secondary.
Yeah, well, they didn't do a good job of it yesterday. They are 3-7 on the season through the first 10 games. Aaron Rodgers, what is your level of frustration?
Listen, it's been, you know, a lot of emotions here for sure. I thought, you know, after a big win Thursday night, nice long week. We're going to come out with a lot of energy and win the game. And we just, you know, we didn't come out with great energy on either side of the ball.
And I have great regret.
Sheep vagina.
I have not for that, but I have great regret over not listening to one Al Dukes, who gave me the little nugget that Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well in Arizona in his career.
But and what do you then mean, I great regret. You picked you. Ended
and
up,
then I picked the Jets. No,
no
I picked,
you didn't. You picked no. You,
I did.
You picked the Cardinals. It was your one win.
Oh, I thought I said he gave me that, but I was still taking the Jets. That, no, that's my one win.
That was your one win. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, you lost everything else. You were one and four.
Trust me.
So I just want to say.
Oh, that's funny.
I want to make sure. Look, I was 2-3. Gio was 3-2.
That's right.
Al, you are now officially off the Jet bandwagon.
Correct. Officially off. That's it. No more.
Is there anything that they can do the rest of the year to get you back on the bandwagon?
Bring in Rex Ryan midseason. That would get me back
well,
on.
Well, we're past midseason.
Or so. Whatever it is. Wherever we at. That would get me back on. I'd tune that in for a week. Other than that, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that'll get the Jets, make the Jets interesting again, is to, like, get rid of Jeff Ulbrich and bring in another guy like John Gruden or Rex Ryan in the middle of the season.
That's not happening now.
Obviously not.
Sure, yes.
But that's the only thing that'll make him interesting.
John Gruden got a standing ovation yesterday in Tampa.
Oh, he was there.
He was there. Yep.
Mm.
Showing on the big board.
He's working his way back in.
How about
slowly
that?
But surely.
You might be onto something there.
Yeah.
You actually might be onto something.
I might actually be onto something time ever.
That personality could be the right personality for the Jets.
Well, it's not only the personality, but it's the fact that no other person is going. You're going to need like a pariah to come and take that job because nobody with a good resume is going to want to work here. I mean, those are the facts.
would Woody hire him, though?
Maybe. You never know. Listen, they took a chance with Rex and look what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It might be Christopher, by the way, who hires him.
True. He could be in Europe again. That's I forgot about that.
You know what, though? Christopher Johnson does not seem like a John Gruden guy.
Yeah, I would think that Woody would definitely be still involved in hiring the new coach. He will.
He hands-off, though, wasn't he? When he was overseas last time?
I guess it's a governmental rule. It's not an NFL rule. That, you know, once you start working for the government, you kind of got to divorce yourself from everything else you're doing in your life. So I don't know how accurate that is or how stringent that is, but he will definitely be involved in hiring the new coach. That's for sure. Because the new ambassadors aren't going to be set until who knows when, maybe next summer, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Although I think that this time around, the Trump the organization around Donald Trump is a hell of a lot more forward-thinking and ready to go as opposed to the last time he won.
Yeah.
Jets play the Colts on Sunday. As for the Giants, the loss in Germany to the Panthers in overtime, the fumble by Tyrone otherwise had a really good game. Here's Malik Nabers. Just feels for him.
He's been doing a great job. You know, he's preparing right. So, you know, you don't kick a man when he's already down. So I shared a couple of words with him just to, you know, lift his courage. But how many times people come up to you and tell you it's not your fault? You still got that feeling inside that, you know, it's your fault. But like I told him, it's not his fault.
Don't kick a man when he's down. But Deebo Samuel went and punched him.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Went for his throat.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the lowest of the low. You're going to choke your own long snapper, man.
My
gosh. Lost your mind.
Here was
Price even knew who he was.
Here was Tracy himself. He knows fumbling in that spot just brutal.
I mean, it's hard, you know. I put a lot into this game, you know. Blood, sweat, and tears, you know, the same old everybody say, but like I play with passion. I feel like you can see it on the field. I have a lot of energy, and I hold myself to a high standard.
We thought the Jets were bad at 3-7. The Giants are 2-8. Bobby Okereke says, we're struggling.
Yeah, look at the reality of it. It's raining right now. It's pouring on us. But, you know, you got to have that perspective to learn how to dance in the rain. Understand that your hard work in adverse situations, adverse circumstances, is going to pay off.
Is that entire flight home dead silent? All 8 hours of it?
I would think so. I think everybody's got their headsets on. Maybe they're watching the tape over. Maybe they're listening to music. Maybe they're watching a movie. Maybe they're sleeping.
You can ask Hoffman when he wakes up.
Oh, he's on the team plane?
Did he went get over here there? To what, 2 o'clock or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a long, long flight back.
Pete Hoffman in Germany with the Giants. That's just, I don't
know. Yeah.
I'm wondering what kind of accent that is that he has.
Yeah, right. Did you see the size of the beers they had there at Allianz Stadium.
I thought you were going to go with course. Size of the tongue, but okay, the beers.
No, the beers, man. They were huge.
Of course.
They all had like plastic steins.
Yeah, and Pete Hoffman was lapping it up like a cat.
Higher alcohol content over there?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
I've never been. I'd heard that. I didn't know.
Yes, it is.
Here was Brian Burns.
Drinking
what was the
Pilsners.
German atmosphere like?
Oh, I enjoyed it. You know, they were very interactive throughout the whole game, singing songs, you know, cheering for stuff that didn't necessarily need to be cheered for. But it was fun, you know. I really enjoyed it.
What? Cheering for things
they didn't know they were watching.
Yeah, they were singing.
Incomplete.
They were singing and everything. Yes. It was a great atmosphere.
Eddie Pinheiro kicked the game winner, the Panthers 3-7 with that win. Sunday night, the Lions came back to beat the Texans 26-23. Dan Campbell in the locker room with his Lions afterwards.
This is what great teams do. This is what great teams do. Even when you're having an off day, you find a way, man. You freaking find a way and you will it to happen. That's what you did.
And they did it. They did have an off day. Jared Goff picked off 5 times on the night, yet they won. So what went through your mind when that field goal was good from Jake Bates to seal it?
Holy smokes. You know, that was a roller coaster of a game. And like I said, like a mental battle for me to know that I'm not... to know that I'm not crazy.
Did you see, speaking of crazy, did you see... You know how they... pre-taped that halftime interview coming out of the locker and then they play it over the so as Dan Campbell is talking about how they got to get more turnovers, they get the interception right on cue.
Yeah,
it was pretty bizarre.
That's because the NFL scripted, we know that.
Yeah. Well, you know what, if it is, take you to the game between the Chiefs and the Broncos, because the Chiefs were, it looked like, about to lose to Denver, lining up for
did you see who blocked that field goal? It was actually one of the refs.
It was Leo Chanel, I guess.
Did you see the left side of the offensive line? The one guy right in the middle, right towards the end, he collapses and gets steamrolled, and Chanel's able to make the block.
He did, and here is Andy Reid.
Take it down for the winning kick, and then Leo steps up and does what Leo does every week. Somewhere he makes a play. Defensively, special teams, somewhere he steps up and makes a play, and he did a great job.
And it also,
with that,
if you hear Leo, apparently Jesus is a fan of the Chiefs.
You know, it's complete shock. You know, it's not much I can say about it. You know, glory to Jesus Christ and everything, because I was really praying for something to happen, because it's so easy to, like, you know, that moment is so heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that kicker was praying, too.
That's right. The left side of the offensive line was completely collapsed by the Denver Broncos.
Glory to Jesus and everything and all that stuff, because he was the one.
You realize how many Jesus references I've had this morning?
There's been a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's a losing team in this whole thing.
Yeah, they're all Satanists.
Yeah, I do think that Jesus probably doesn't like Sean Payton.
No way.
Yeah, if I had to guess.
The Eagles beat the Cowboys 34-6. I found the audio of Jerry Jones. It took a while, but the fan in Dallas runs their post-game show live, so they did have it. They didn't cut away like a lot of these other press conferences did. The audio is not great, but it is what it is. Here he was asked if the curtains should block the sun. They should put the curtains in to block the sun. You had the play to CeeDee Lamb where he just didn't see the ball and then pointed to the sun.
We do know where the damn sun's going to be. In our own stadium.
Why not put the curtains in?
Why not mitigate that?
What?
The sun and CeeDee's
eyes.
Well,
let's just tear the damn stadium down, build another one. You're kidding me.
But it's not, you don't have
Everybody's
to go that way.
Everybody's got the same thing. Every team that comes in here has the same issues. They know where the sun's going to be.
And then he was asked if the coach should have called a different play because of the sun.
So is it more on Mike not understanding where the sun is and not calling
those pitches? I'm saying the world knows where the sun is. We have to know that almost a year in advance. So someone asked me about the sun, and what about the sun? Where's the moon?
Oh, man.
Where's the moon?
Things are collapsing down there in Dallas, boy.
He's like a week away from crawling under his own couch and dying like an old cat.
No, he's not. He's still got a lot up his sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a lot of energy, though. For, what is he, 82 now, 83?
You tell me. You're the one who thought that he was going to die last year.
Just Google it.
I didn't. I could. Fine.
All right. So who is their coach next year?
Bill Belichick.
Okay.
All right. Deion Sanders. I've been saying one of those two for 2 years now. I'm just saying that's what I've said all along. And one thing he makes clear, he no matter what happens, he will not fire Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
in season.
I don't think he will either. I think he'll just
for the love of God, let me go. Can't take it anymore. Jesus, just fire my ass.
Two quarterbacks that threw for 60 yards.
Jesus Christ, Jared, please. This is torture.
The Steelers beat the Commanders 28-27, came from behind to do so. Jaden Daniels says, hard to lose this game.
I mean, it hurts, and you can see that it hurts guys in the locker room. So main thing is like, man, these guys care about winning, and it matters to them.
It does matter. It also matters to the Steelers, who won. Mike Tomlin was asked afterwards, after getting a first-hand look of Daniels, does he remind you of Lamar Jackson?
Man, be real slow comparing people to Lamar Jackson. That's a multi-time MVP. That's Mr. Jackson. We'll see Mr. Jackson in a few days.
Yeah, Steelers-Ravens Sunday at 1 o'clock, so that should be a fun game. Pittsburgh has played real well this year.
What's the Thursday night game this year? I thought that was
Philadelphia, Washington, I think.
Oh, Philly, Washington. Yeah, okay.
The Niners beat the Bucs in, not an overtime, but a final kick at the end, 23-20. By the way, I told Al, that stadium is so much fun. Like, compare it to, like, MetLife Stadium or just where there's not much going on. Well, it's like a party.
Yeah, but the weather has something to do with it.
Yes, but they got a DJ going. They got bars all over the place. The weather is beautiful. I can't say it's not.
Yeah, I actually did a Pitt football game down there because the University of South Florida played there, and I really enjoyed that stadium, too.
It's awesome.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
And it was easy to get out of, which was shocking, so kind of neat.
Amazing what else is out there.
And close to the airport.
All of that, yes. And the airport was just loaded with Niner fans. Pretty cool. Rams play the Dolphins Monday Night Football this evening. Your Knickerbockers, not so good yesterday with the Pacers.
Well defended by Towns. Here's Mathieu. Goes right at Hart. Gets inside. Lefty layup is good. Boy, Mathieu, what a show he's put on here in the first half.
How about he finished with 38 points and 8 rebounds? Mike Breen with the call on MSG. 132-121. Indiana beats New York in a game where the Knicks got 33 from Jalen Brunson. The difference in this game, Indiana hit 21 threes. They were 21 of 46. The Knicks were just 7 of 25. So they fall to 4-5 on the season. The Pacers now 5-5.
Do you realize they're 4-5. They've played 9 games, and they are 6 games out of first place already. Behind undefeated Cleveland.
Cleveland. And Boston's played well, too, right? Were they 7-2 or 8-2?
Jalen Brown's been hurt.
Yes, that is true. Tonight, the Nets are in New Orleans. It'll be on The Fan 101.9 FM. Coverage at 7:50 on 6:60 AM, The Fan. We will have Rutgers and St. Peter's for you. That is a 7 p.m. tip, and the Sharks beat the Devils 1-0.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, I don't want to rub it in or anything, and I wasn't trying to touch the money or anything, you know, this past Friday on a football Friday we were talking about it, but East Islip did come through with the playoff victory over your Belport. What are you guys now, the Raiders, or what are you?
The Raiders? What are you talking about?
Belport? What?
No, they're really the Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers, that's right.
But they're also known as the Junkyard Dogs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. You have a better team, and as I said on Friday, two great programs.
Yes.
Young men that are learning how to do things the right way. Belport's had East Islip's number in the past. East Islip's had Belport's number in the past. And this year happened to be another great year for East Islip. So congratulations.
Yes.
But it was expected, and you took care of business.
Yeah, they did.
So there you go. I do want to bring you to Saturday night, though. It's something I could not believe that I saw. So Ole Miss, Georgia, Ole Miss ends up winning the football game. There's 16 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, and the student body and the fans start storming the field.
They couldn't hold them back.
Like you would expect, right? But the clock is stopped at 16 seconds. Now, Ole Miss has the ball, and all they have to do is take one knee, and it's over. So as the entire, you know, they're just flowing and pouring onto the field. And then the refs are like, hold on, because there's 16 seconds left. I'm sitting there going, good luck. There's no way that you're stopping this. And guess what they did? They got every one of those kids to the sideline to take that knee. That's got to be the most obedient student body in the history of collegiate athletics. The fact that they all dispersed to the sideline. So then you had the Ole Miss sideline in like 6,000 kids waiting there patiently behind the players as they take the knee, and then they storm the field again to get the goalpost down and everything else. But, I mean, I could not believe that.
Yeah, it was
they
insane.
Actually listened?
Yeah, it was insane. Very well. You know, good parents. That's good parenting.
Good
there.
Parenting, I guess, yeah.
I mean, but that's what college football is all about right there, especially down in the Deep South.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a monumentous moment for Ole Miss.
Yeah, absolutely, and the players.
I mean, to beat Georgia. Think about
that. I know, and it's just one of those memorable things that they'll absolutely never forget. But yeah, I was really really impressed with them getting off the field.
I love the fact that the Ole Miss had a lefty quarterback. He's pretty good, man. Love their uniforms. Love when they go in those light blue uniforms.
Right.
They're just so. I mean, that is college football at its best, right there.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, and I have to say, you know, Saturdays are days where I try to like shut my brain off a little bit from sports, and I'll, you know, I'm not as locked in to watching all the games. But yesterday was way more fun. I mean, Saturday was much more fun football than, even though we had a blowout with Alabama and LSU, basically. But it was much more fun watching the college games on Saturday than it was the NFL games on Sunday. Now, I don't know if that is. I don't normally say that because I'm a huge NFL guy, but it's probably because I had to watch the Jets and the Giants mostly.
Yeah.
But, and I also watched the Viking-Jaguar game, which was just putrid. I mean, that was one of the worst football games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but you won.
No, I know, but
there are always going to be games like that. Every team is going to have a game like that somewhere along the line. It's a long season. And, you know, just you put so much time and effort into all of these games. Just please let me walk off the field a winner. Kind of like Dan Campbell. All right, so your quarterback threw 5 interceptions and you won a game.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, Houston's just got to be kicking themselves over that and a 52 or 53-yard field goal as time expires. Just crazy. But, yeah, I mean, there's just, I don't know. I mean, I understand winning the game, and that's great and everything else. But just talk about watching these games. I mean, I know you're talking about the Giants with a competitive effort, but, I mean, that game was not. I mean, that first half was horrendous.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was great football.
A lot of bad football.
Thank God it's somebody didn't come back, you know, 41-3 winners. Like, if the Giants came back with the Jets score,
yeah,
I would tell you that's just completely unacceptable.
Sure.
But when I watched the Giant game and I watched the mistakes that Daniel Jones made, I could sit there and say the rest of the roster, you know, for the lack of stopping the run was a big part of it. Don't get me wrong. But at least the rest of the roster actually had, you know, for the most part, gave a winning effort.
Yeah, they gave an effort. I mean, I don't know about a winning effort, but they certainly gave an effort.
Like, everybody's, it's embarrassing. You lose this, you lose that game and everything. Yeah, I mean, what's embarrassing is what the Jets did.
Sure, it's more embarrassing.
The egg that they laid in Arizona with the players that they have on their team and how they have been talking for 2 years about how great they are
at their
individual positions.
Both are embarrassing. The Jets are more embarrassing. I mean, it's just when you're comparing the two, the Jets are more embarrassing.
But the
Giants have the worst record in football. They have a tiebreaker with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they lost to what we thought was the worst team in football out in Germany. So, I mean, it was embarrassing for the Giants. There's no two ways about it. It's just way worse for the Jets.
I'm just saying that we have come here many times, and we have talked about teams that have lost. And how many times have fans called in and said, you know, at least keep it close.
Yeah.
At least give me something to root for at the end of the game. I mean, the Jets game was over at halftime.
No, that's true. They can't argue that. But, yeah, the Commanders-Steelers game was a fun game. That was a good game. The Sunday night game ended up being a good game. Broncos-Chiefs was a good game. There was a few good games. I just think that we're just so warped in what we see with the Jets and the Giants and how bad they are that it's like, God. I mean, well, you know what? At this point, though, I mean, you really, there's nothing about the rest of this season that will be interesting with either one of these teams, I don't think. Like, there's going to be a lot of Jet and Giant fans that are going to do different things on Sundays for the rest of the year. Like, honestly, their wives will suck them into doing something they don't want to do.
Well, both of these teams are going into places where you don't want to go, and that is irrelevance. And irrelevance.
Well, they're there now. They're definitely there now.
Well, yeah, they're there,
both
but
are.
It also leads to apathy. And
that's
what you're talking about. And then when it leads to apathy, that's when the ownership decides they have to make a decision. and they have to somehow re-engage their fan base. And it's a long way to the end of the season, and a lot of things can happen. And no matter what an owner says in the middle of the season, they will not be held to it once the season is over, depending on how this thing shakes out.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.